Hello and a very warm welcome to Monocle on Design Extra. It's a show brought to you by the team behind Monocle's dedicated weekly design program. I'm Nolan Giles. The Italian architect, designer and art director Gioponti is the subject of a new tome from publisher Taschen. Produced in close collaboration with the Ponti Archive, the book offers a comprehensive account of the creative's output. But what lessons can designers today learn from Ponti's lifetime of work? Monocle's Nick Moniz caught up with Brian Kish, 20th century Italian architecture and design historian, and one of the book's contributors, to find out a little more.
What people could get out of this book maybe is to look one more time at the interior spaces and the way he decorates them, but also this idea of indoor-outdoor spaces with villas and with the idea of sight lines on his drawings, looking through various rooms, interpenetration. There's all that aspect. On top of that is that he seems to have no particular, he was not ideological. I brought that up with his daughter, Lisa Ponti. Where was his ideology? And she said to me, he did not have an ideology, and not having one was his ideology. He was not into this idea, this thinking that we were Hegelian and progressing. He says, let us proceed and not progress. And I think that's interesting too, proceeding. So just get on with it. There is unabashed use of color. There is a method to his color. Again, I spoke to Lisa Ponti about that. She said he would use three primaries and as pure color or three complementaries. But one thing he always did was juxtapose it with white. And white seemed to be this universal transformative condition for him. So therefore, color next to white enhanced both. He also used black and gray. He could saturate or use color in interiors. There was just always limited amounts of color, but it just somehow it was the right amount.
Were there any new findings for you on Ponti in this past year of working on this project that has changed the way that you see his work?
So I was very familiar with the early decades of the work, and the 50s is his most prolific. But this project revealed the later work, the 1960s and 70s, which I sort of had previously overlooked, and revealed man, an old man in his 70s, who was still at it and still coming up with new ideas. So in that sense, yes, there was some new discoveries, new things to work on. Other than that, let's say smaller things, commissions I never knew about from the various decades, 20s, 30s, 40s. But more or less, I had sort of had a kind of command on all of those. There were certain things we brought up more, like surrealism, the big section on the ocean liners, which I had no idea on the breadth of those. I thought there was only maybe four, but there's many, many more. I think there's like eight in total. They are quite extensive. Another finding was just to reflect back on Ponti. Being a New Yorker and also a Londoner, I sort of had to take greater distance and see him now as a figure of the 20th century, probably the busiest man and the most prolific. Certainly the one who worked in more countries around the world, more international than even Le Corbusier. In my mind, just going through, comparing to, you know, sort of North American architects or architects of Europe and so forth, and in those comparisons. Other than that, Ponti has always been a figure that was too obvious. He was the most prominent. And then there's been a lot of interest in Italian architectural figures, Albini, Caccio Domagnoni, Gardella, BBPR, also Carlo Marlino, that we sort of then forgot about Ponti. And then why this book is sort of more relevant than ever before in the 21st century is because he just sort of illuminates so many positions, and he's a figure that did so many things. As we progressed through this book, it became more apparent that he was someone to look into yet again, to reflect on.
Well, why do you think he is, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but why is he the most significant of those designers?
He was a prolific creator. His daughter said that I asked the question, did he ever sleep? And she said about 5 hours a day. So he was forever drawing and working. And he was also getting on planes and traveling. And plus, how did he have the time to be the editor or art director of this magazine, which brought in a lot of information for him too? There's so many aspects of him, but let's say design is on across all these fields, starting with the porcelain for Giannori, silver work for Christoph, glass pieces for Vanini, more glass, industrial glass for the Fontana Arte, and then all the furniture and working with small ebonists to big companies like Cassina. He seemed to be just always evolving with certain forms, and he would go back to them and develop them again decades later, but with new materials. And he was interested in making spaces dynamic, that furniture and the placement. He didn't seem to have admiration for a plain wall. He created these things called the furnished wall, floating bookcases and lighting sources and panels, sort of in shallow relief with light behind them. He wanted all surfaces to sort of slightly be animated. That's why he sort of, the patterns on floors, the diagonal of tiles, set or marble. So there is a kind of immense amount of energy gone to many things, and it's just incomprehensible how it all got done. But there is six decades of work.
For designers picking up this book now, what do you hope that they take away from it?
I think it should give them confidence to try different materials, forms, idioms, and perhaps context, you know, from indoor, outdoor, public, private, and to sort of progress, because he was always picking up new materials. In one of the essays by Stefano Casciani, he does mention about how he's using plastic and using that in a kind of space age way. And this is for Ara de Luce in the mid-1950s. And later that was to be taken up by Joe Colombo in this sort of space age look, as well as Werner Panton. So molded plastic and so forth. There is something for young designers to look at in that regard, and also just to approach how he had that facility for change.
My thanks to Brian Kish there. He was speaking to Monocle's Nick Manise. Giaponte is published by Taschen and available now. And that's all for this week. If you're eager for more design stories, listen to our full-length program airing on Tuesdays, 8 p.m. London time. Today's episode was produced by Maley Evans. I'm Nolan Giles. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.